Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
The future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it.
You know, other kind of words, even cool. Like if you think about just the way in which just it enters the American, like, cultural lexicon, right? We were able to reframe that. But we haven't been able to do the N-word in the same way. And I think that is because it's not that it has a power over you. It is because we don't want to be honest with ourselves about, I think, really why that, whose word that is, right? And that's what, again, back to James Baldwin, he was like, that's white people's word, right? And he was like, you basically... And somebody asked him about this, you know, I can't remember the year, I think it was like 63. And he says, you know, you don't need to ask me about being a nigga, basically. He was like, it's not my word, right? You need to ask people why they invented it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their word.
Why did they need it? Why was it so important to have a nigga in the first place?
He was like, why was it? Exactly. He was like, why do you need it?
Why do you need it?
Why do you need it?
Welcome to Wow Black, a seriously opinionated podcast bringing you the real and raw on anything happening Wow Black. If Black culture's there, we're there. If you're pissed or empowered, then let's talk about it. Ride with us on this all Black everything.
Everybody, welcome back to Wild Black.
Welcome back, people. Welcome back.
We got another amazing episode for you. This one's sensitive, I think. It's I don't even know where to go. It's a real, real iffy kind of topic.
He says sensitive.
It is. People are gonna land on either side. I'm gonna land on both sides. So we ain't gonna waste any time. Today we are talking about the N-word, nigga, however
what?
You say it, right?
What?
We talking about it today.
Yes.
And before we jump in, all right, brother, do you use the word? Everybody listen, no, hey,
I absolutely do not use that word. That is a horrible word. Shit. I use that word
today.
Profoundly all the time. Yeah. And I have no problem with using it. But yes, I do. I do.
I have a love hate. I have tried so many times to leave that word alone.
It's like my...
Nothing else fits.
Nick. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say king right there. Just don't... I struggle. Like, I stopped... I stopped drinking on the spot like 6 years ago at my kitchen sink during a house party my wife and I were having. I just sat there taking a drink and I was like, you know what? I'm not getting anything positive out of this. And I literally have not had a drink since. Mm-hmm. But the N-word, I can't shake. I don't know if that says something good or bad about me.
Did you just correlate drinking to the N-word? Was that a direct correlation to your experience?
I correlated my experience with letting go of things that play roles in my life. That's what that was.
There you go. There you go.
All right, well, look, we've been talking too much already. I want to introduce our guest today. You heard her chuckle a little bit, but when we talked on the phone, she had a wealth of information that I couldn't even begin to ask questions about. So today is going to be the Corey Show. So I want to introduce Dr. Corey Claiborne to Wild Black. Dr. Corey is a dedicated cultural theorist, which I don't know what that means. We'll ask her in a second.
Cultural theorist.
With a 20-year commitment to higher education. She is currently an associate professor of English and American Literature at Morehouse, and she received her undergraduate degree in English from Syracuse University, a master's in English. English as well? Okay, just making sure. In English as well from the University of South Carolina, and a doctor from The Ohio State University. Corey, welcome to Wild Black.
Thank you so much.
What is a cultural theorist?
A cultural theorist does what we're doing today. We talk about culture. And the N-word is a part of our culture for good or ill, right?
So true.
So we're going to break down, hopefully analyze what it means to use this word in particular and what effect it's had on Black people, if at all.
I love that. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. I've got a couple questions, but I'm very honest with the listeners all the time. Because I use this word and I've struggled with this word, I don't understand the fascination with the word, yet I feel like I'm partially addicted to the word. I don't have a whole lot of great thought-out questions for today's episode, but I know from talking to Dr. Corey before, she's got a wealth of information that you will feel begin to spill over these airways very, very shortly. But before we do that, we got to get into this Wild Black shit.
Ooh.
Today's is kind of funny. I'm really excited about today's, too.
So we didn't prep you to the Wild Black shit.
You sure
so
didn't.
This is what happened. So three questions.
Okay.
The last question is really our signature question. We ask every guest. Every guest is uniquely positioned to answer it in an amazing way. But the first two are really, really fun questions, and they are to get you opened up. So you let me know when you're ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
See? All right, let's get it.
I'm from South Carolina. We stay ready.
That's what... she's stunning on us a little bit. Right. You see that? I like that.
She
said
she don't curse. She ain't got this. She implied the hell out with that.
Right,
means.
Correct. Like, please.
Right.
All right, first question. I'm in the grocery store, and I make the following purchases. What am I making? Vanilla extract, powdered sugar, and in equal parts, eggs, flour, sugar, and unsalted butter.
You could be making a lot of things. You could be making pancakes. You could be making a pound cake. You could be making...
But that's some good damn pancakes.
Right? But see, that's what you got to put some extra in.
Some sweet pancakes.
You need to ask Dr. Sam over there. He knows. Like, he'll be putting things in there. So
she hit pound cake on the head. It's all good. It worked. Pound cake.
Girl, but you never had, like, some pound cake, like, pancakes?
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like I just lost a portion of my Black card. Like, I didn't know that was real.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, if you ever go to, I have a restaurant recommendation. If you ever go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, there's this place. It's on the beach. There's two of them. But they have stuff like red velvet waffles and sweet potato pound cake. And
I'm still stuck on the pound cake pancakes.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That'll be delicious.
My mama told me to stop doing this, but I'm looking at my mama thinking, I'm 43. I grew up in your house.
And you ain't put me on this.
Right, you ain't ever hooked me up with no... pound cake, pancakes.
Yeah. Hey, my cholesterol kind of high. That'll mess me up.
Yeah, no, you
might need
right.
to mess with that.
You gotta take some, I don't know, run around the block.
Right. Give me a couple miles in.
All right, question number one, you smashed.
You did.
Question number two is going to be fun.
Today, we are talking about the power of words. So it wouldn't be right if some of our Wild Black shit didn't tie back into words. So we need you to listen to each word or statement below and then tell us how Black folks with all the colorful metaphors and adjectives may say the same thing.
You need an example or you good on this one?
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I need an example.
Share an example.
All right. We're giving it, let me see. Which one? Okay. I'm going to give her a D as an example. You have to translate this into Blackage. Okay. We got to speak. To us.
He gave us a whole... He doesn't even use the term, not Ebonics.
Ebonics or African-American said, vernacular.
I don't want to take nothing that's real. Blackish.
Right. I'm putting that on Wikipedia tonight.
Excuse me, sir or ma'am, but I believe you are mistaken. I would never behave in that manner. And so I want you to translate that into us. How Black folks would say that is, oh, you got me all the way fucked up. There's no way I'm doing that. You got me all the way fucked up. That is a very, very quick example. of what we are looking for. Look, I told everybody to turn their joint down. Mine is loud as I don't know what.
That's a tough.
Well, I tried to take one of the tough ones out.
Yeah, excuse me, sir, ma'am, but I believe you are mistaken. I would never behave in that manner.
Otherwise, you got me fucked up.
Right. Well, that could be, bitch, please.
Right.
Yeah.
There are a couple
so
translations. Many,
yeah. So the translations, you can.
Okay, can there's a lot for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. It's crowded in here.
I was about to say something, but this one, I don't think it'll translate. So in South Carolina, there's a lot of ways, and I'm always going to reference South Carolina, sorry. So there's a couple things. Sometimes it's just very simple. People go, yo, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they don't say anything else.
That's a good call.
You're
that's a good call.
Like, yo. Shit.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Or it could be, this is a very specific thing, it's hotter than a mug, right? Whenever it's hotter than a mug, you know,
that means there's too many people. We almost had that one
really?
In there, too.
I didn't know that. Is that universal?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was particular to South Carolina.
I'm from Mississippi, originally. So.
Well, there you go. So
I'm from Chicago, and that still, plays out.
Hotter than a mug?
Yep.
And what's another one, another way that they say that? This is only my mother. She used to say, oh, y'all got people monkeying up in here. And now I think that
has got to have some racist connotation in that thing someplace.
Slightly, I mean.
Got to have some.
So I was like, we monkeying?
Monkeying?
Right? So that might be real country. So maybe y'all don't monkey, so that might only be something.
Hey, that's the first time I ever heard that.
Right, that was new to me.
I've been educated. Y'all.
Right, when you monkey, that's what you mean. It's, yeah. He's also from South Carolina, so.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Those kind of
I think those were good answers.
I like those. Second one.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Children, today I need you to dress nicely as this is a semi-formal to formal event.
I mean, other than put your pants up, like, do you need to dress nicely?
I can imagine listeners yelling at the radio at the podcast player right now.
At that one.
I don't know. I don't have a good one for that.
Yeah, put your church clothes
put
on.
Put your church clothes on.
Put your church clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Those translate. All right. I've had it up to here with this type of behavior.
I've had it up to here. First of all, I'm trying to think if anybody has ever had a full sentence for something like I've had it up for here. Because if...
They're usually not full sentences.
Right.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm like, you know, that's a lot of words. It could be a lot of things. It could be just... I think that's a nonverbal kind of gesture. Mm-hmm.
That
like,
could be.
Exactly. Yep. Like, you could just look... And I'm sure your mothers can just look, and that means I've had it up to here.
Correct. That's an even,
I mean, I don't think there was a word for
even,
that.
That's an even better answer, actually.
So,
like, the look actually translates into the word.
Yeah, like, when you got no words, that's when you knew it was really, you were done and finished.
Yes.
So.
Okay. So I'm going to give you what we had.
Okay.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Right.
All right, next one. Tomorrow morning is Sunday. Don't forget we're going to church.
I don't know. It's like...
I knew this was going to be hard today.
Yeah, that
tomorrow
one. That
morning,
one.
Don't forget we're going to church. Like, that's like, again, unspoken. Like, when did I not go to church?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a smooth 18 years. So I'm trying to figure out, did I have to get a warning ever about...
Yeah. This is more of an internal thought.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget we got to get up in the morning and go get that good word. That's... Yeah.
Mm-mm. I have never thought that.
You never heard somebody get that good word?
No.
Hear from the good book?
Mm-mm.
What?
No.
Even a child heard that one.
We're Methodist. I don't know. Maybe we just have a different, like...
Yeah.
No, never heard that at all.
Okay.
But did I go to church? Yes, I did. So.
Look, she said this one already.
Mm-hmm. So it's really hot in this house.
Yeah. It's hotter than a mug, right?
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought I took it out. I did not.
Mm-mm. It is there profoundly. She just thinks she is too high class, or he thinks he is living high on the hog.
On the hog. So, again, that's just like if it's bougie,
bam,
it could be sedity.
Boom, boom.
Okay.
Yep. Black car secured.
Right.
Yes, you're good.
I'm glad.
So check it out. Yes. Signature question. What do you love most about life while Black?
Well, actually, I was thinking about this because I just came back from the Caribbean and it was so great. And one of the things I love about being Black is you can go anywhere while Black and experience, I think, life at a different level than other people do. And it's a connection, too. Like, you can... as a matter of fact, I was at breakfast and most of the people in this restaurant were British, except for the local Barbadians who were there. And they were, this girl was having a birthday party and they started singing the Stevie Wonder version of Happy Birthday, which people should know. But as an American, I didn't know this girl. I started joining in. We were all singing. We all started clapping. And I think I saw the look on some of the British tourists' face and they're like, do you know her? How do y'all know to sing this song?
That connection.
Like, why are you singing? Like, what's happening? Like, they look so confused. And I was so, you know, I was like, you don't have this. You don't have this ability to, you know, go somewhere and know exactly what somebody's thinking, exactly what they're feeling, and, you know, have that kind of connection. So I love traveling while Black. Definitely.
That's cool. I like that. All right, so... we're going to move into our dope quote, but today, again, it's not a dope quote. It's more of a powerful paragraph. So,
shit, it's a powerful narrative.
It's long.
It's a story.
And you know, listeners, we do this every now and then, but just pay attention and listen. So, it comes from a 2017 article published on The Undefeated by Brando Starkey entitled, "If You Truly Knew What the N-Word Meant to Your Ancestors, You'd Never Use It." Two paragraphs. White folks indoctrinated them into accepting their supposed inferiority. These narratives illustrate the success of this campaign of mental terrorism, and no word conveyed the depth of this internalized oppression more than nigger. Now, whenever I hear the word, a visual and emotional representation of the heinous process by which a people, my people, were induced to think they were less than, trespasses into my thoughts. After years of habitual use of the word nigger, I banished it from my speech to honor the humanity that many never saw in themselves. The internalized oppression revealed itself in various ways. Sometimes the former enslaved people clearly, perhaps subconsciously, considered themselves subhuman, just like how their former owners regarded them. Jim Allen, for example, dubbed himself his master's pet nigger boy and a stray, and thought himself privileged because he could sleep on the floor beside his master's bed. That he likened himself to a fortunate mangy mutt or frisky feline crushed me. The word laid bare a worldview that held Black folk as a lower order of beings, as when Irene Robertson claimed her former master, Mr. Sanders, was mean, in part because he beat his wife like he beat a nigger woman. So I know that was a lot, right? But I felt like just kind of having this quick conversation about the impact that that word has had on us historically would be a great place to start today. So from what you can recall from what I just read, what are the first thoughts that kind of come to mind from that passage?
Well, I think that is what a lot of people have said, right? That's what James Baldwin said. Mm-hmm. I mean, he basically said that Black people could only be destroyed if you believe that you're what white people call you, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so on a lot of levels,
indeed,
you know, we know this is the truth. We know that words have power. We know that they can hurt. We know that there is a sense that we are carrying on a word that has been so important to white people to put Black people in our place. And it is very difficult for us to divorce its meaning, its original intent. Maybe not even original, but since it's been used in America, we'll say, it's very difficult to divorce that from... you know, just the harm it's done. I don't understand how We could say we like the word, and we could say that there are words, we can use it in songs. I was just, you know, listening to a song earlier today, right? And we could understand its use, but it is very difficult to say, for example, and I say this all the time with the, you know, the word bitch, right? For women, you can call your good friend that as women, right? But you know, and as a woman, that if a man calls you that, you're going to be ready to fight. You're going to be upset, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so, and that means that that word still has power over you.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Yeah.
So. Like here, like I, as I said at the beginning of the show, I struggle with the word. I do say it. I have gone through countless phases where I have been able to carve it out of my vocabulary for a week, a month, 2 months. But every time I do say it, like I, when I really pay attention to how I feel inside,
yeah,
there is that tinge of, you know, you just did something wrong. And for me, what kind of drives it home is I recognize aww, that. He's laughing at my pain. What drives it home for me is when I look, when I look at my children, I recognize that I have never, nor will I ever be able to use that term for them. And that's like the piece that really gets me. Like, I must know someplace, like deep inside, like I can't call my children that. So why am I calling anyone that? You know, no different than there's certain names I would never call my mother, my wife, my right, father.
Right.
But that word, I can't refer to my children. And I cringe when I hear other parents refer to their children as such. There was just this video where a mom went into a school and I guess a friend recorded her and she snatched her like 6 or 7 year old son out of the classroom and she was berating him outside. Right. She called him nigga this and nigga that, right, and breaking his face. And I was just like, wow. All the things she said, I just could not believe she referred to her son, 6 years old, as this nigga like you would talk to anybody walking down, right, the street. And like, so that's what I feel inside every time I say it. And it's just reinforced by, I won't call the people closest to me that.
And I think, I think I was telling you this, that's why I stopped using it in my 20s, right? Like on some level, it's like seeing a young black man with a son, you know, pull up his son by calling him the N-word. And I was like, how horrible, right? Yeah. At the same time, you know, this is 20 years ago. So I remember, you know, a really big song that was out was C-Murder and Snoop, you know, Down From My Ends, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah. I was like, you still hear that beat when it comes on. You're
it
like,
go
oh.
Home.
You know, you go home. On.
Yes.
And you, I had to sort of wrestle with. Right?
Yeah.
I had to wrestle with, like, literally, I was in the car talking about, oh, what? You know, listen to the yeah, song. Like, I'm down for my, you know, all this right, other kind of stuff. And then having this moment where I see this man jack up his little son. And I realized it might be because he was bumping to the same song in his car,
yeah,
before he got out.
Yeah.
And he didn't see that there was anything inappropriate.
Yeah.
Right? So then, you know, I still listen to the song, but I got the clean version where they say, do you remember what the song they substitute the N-word for in that song?
I don't remember.
In the clean
I probably
version.
Never heard the clean version. Mm-hmm.
See,
is it Ninja?
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
It's Hitters.
Oh, you so know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard that. You're so right.
Hitters.
Because I ride for my hitters, right? And I was always wondering, I was like, does that make the song less powerful? This less. Because, you know, that's sort of like the radio
right,
version.
Yeah. So, like, here's a question just off of that.
Well, let me, because I got to jump in on that one, because
yeah,
it's interesting. I think the reason I use it and I won't refrain from using it is because I think words have meaning and words have definition.
Right.
I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that as humanity and as culture, we can redefine words and what they mean. And also, within that redefinition, a recharacterization of what it means in context when we're having that conversation, right? Or when we're using that word. So it's to me, it's, you cannot let a word or a group of words really have a significant amount of control over you. So I try to make sure that in my mental, I'm using things in the right context. And if it's like, man, I mean, it's very rare that I use it, but when I do use it, it is in the right context of love and not necessarily in something that is negative or derogatory or something crazy that would make us reflect back into, you know, slavery times or something like that, right? We are in 2019, and I think we have to determine, like, what is going to take control over us, right? Like, we have the ability to redefine words, I think. And I think when you hear it, and even in the song, right, because I think the song is a great example, the song makes you smile because the beat is raw. What it's saying is really empowering, right? Yeah. It's really a supportive
it's a
song.
Like, I'm down.
Yes, it's like, I'll ride. These are my friends. Yes, like, whatever we got to do,
and everybody knows
even though
what
saying,
that is.
I will
is.
Fuck a nigga up for my nigga. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
You need,
but
it,
yeah.
You need to, though. Like,
bury your bodies,
but
you and you ain't never going to find it. I don't know what's up about bury your bodies. Yes. So maybe that's not the most positive.
So I think, yeah.
We understand. Well, you know, like, positive. Inside
depending
of
on
the
what kind of, where you at, what's going on in your life at that point, right?
Hey, sometimes you need somebody to hide the bodies with.
Right, right. That's just a good friend. Just change the word a little bit, right? Yeah, if you, you know, if you're in that life, you, that, you need a friend like that.
Yeah.
Bro, what side of Chicago you said you was from?
Hey, everybody need a friend like that.
That's true.
Right. Okay, I don't want to need to know all y'all friends.
Hey, bro, it's time.
So.
That's all you got to say. It's time.
All right.
So, but back to the whether you can redefine a word. And I hear that the most in terms of why people think the word is useful or why they still want to use it. Because they'll say, oh, well, I don't mean it in any kind of way. I'm trying to reframe it. I mean, I've heard, you know, Kendrick Lamar say this. A lot of my students say this is why they use it, because they don't use it in the same way and they want to reframe it. And I say, you know, if you think about this word that has like a 600-year history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think about really the last 50 years, we've been trying to reframe this word, like after Black Power movement, all this other kind of stuff. 50 years, we haven't been successful, right?
Correct.
Like,
correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
and there is a reason.
It hasn't worked. And that should tell you, I think, on some, because other words we have reframed. Like Michael Jackson came out with a song talking about bad, right? And he meant he was good. We really, Black people reframed that word, right? We took that and we made it something else. We, you know, other kind of words, even cool. Like, if you think about just the way in which just it enters the American, like, cultural lexicon, right? We were able to reframe that. But we haven't been able to do the N-word in the same way. And I think that is because it's not that it has a power over you. It is because we don't want to be honest with ourselves about, I think, really why that, whose word that is, right? And that's what, again, back to James Baldwin, he was like, that's white people's word, right?
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
And he was like, you basically... And somebody asked him about this, you know, I can't remember the year, I think it was like 63. And he says, you know, you don't need to ask me about being a nigga, basically. He was like, it's not my word, right? You need to ask people why they invented it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their word. Why did they need it?
Why it was so important to have a nigga in the first place.
He was like, why was it? Exactly. He was like, why do you need it? Because I don't need it. Why do you need it, right? And it was one of those kind of things where if it is a white invention, I mean, that sort of reframes this thing. If it's a white invention for the express purpose of, you know, of disenfranchising Black folks, it's going to be a word I don't know if we can reframe, right? Like, I think that something like bad and good, yeah, you can do that. It's even something like queer, right? You can do that, right? Because we've been able to do that within maybe a 20-year time span, right, where we've changed that in terms of being something more positive, right? But we haven't, over like 50 years, been able to do that with nigger. And I don't know if we will be able to do that. It's just simply because that's the purpose of the word, right? Like, it's one of the things where it's not so much about having a power, but to realize, how did it enter, you know, our consciousness? A word that initially meant black, right? There was just Negro,
right,
and, you know, just literally Negra. The word black. Like you can go to Africa, there's a Nigeria, you know, Niger. There's all these countries that are named after black lands, right?
Right.
But you know, even in, we were talking about the 1619 Project, even when they're describing these black people they brought over from Africa, they're like, we have these niggers, right? He just means black people, N-E-G-U-R-S, right? And the question is, once that meant something in America from the 1600s, right? We have not been able to change it since, because it's been so useful for white people to keep people enslaved, to keep people in certain areas. And I, like I said, maybe another 200 years, but it's going to be very difficult. I don't know if you can.
So for me, it actually, like, I sit like in the middle of that conversation, right? Because I don't believe that we can take the power out of the word the way we're trying to today. But I also still use the word. So what I think about, like, in the example that you just gave, it feels to me like it's very hard to take this word and tweak its meaning when, if you think about the word bad that Michael Jackson, we were able to kind of redefine, it's a very broad term, right? It is not a targeted term, right? Bad is something that can be applicable to everyone at any specific time. And you can very easily come in and out of bad behavior, because it's defined what this behavior is. But the word nigger is very much a targeted weapon, right? Anytime that word is launched, it's like a heat-seeking missile that aims just for black people, period. It doesn't hit anyone else. It can't hit anyone else. And on top of it being a targeted weapon used against us, it's being used in the house that we live in.
Right.
Right? So it was derived by the people who put us in this house, but we have now taken ownership of the house.
Right.
And the word is still there.
Right.
That's an so derived weapon is in the context of it being used by someone who is of non-color.
Right. But it's like taking a M16 or AR assault rifle, and then in 20 years, trying to use that as a shovel. Right. It's you're not using it for what it was intended, but you're trying to say, well, I want to depower this gun. I want to use it for good. And that's where I struggle. It's like,
using it for good. Maybe
if we could, I think we could redefine it. Maybe if we could get rid of the word for long enough for the sting to truly go away. Like, if we could stop using that word for 100 years, everybody.
I think it's power in the word.
It means black, which was what it was originally supposed to mean.
Yeah.
If we just say, oh, look at these blacks, right? Like, look at these black people. Look at this.
You translate that to look at these niggas.
I don't. I think that's a larger question. How do those things become synonymous, right? You know, the idea that we're just talking about black people, but the black people becomes like a negative, right? Like an automatic. And that's a dictionary definition question, I think, in and of itself, right? That Malcolm X talks about, right? Like, why are you... when you look at black in the dictionary, what does it say? Or what did it say in the 1950s or the 1940s, right? Like, it did say evil. It did say ugly and stained with dirt. It did say all these other kind of things as the definition of black. Mm-hmm. So the fact that definition has now changed, I think, says a lot. But that's because there is a difference between the N-word and blacks. If we made it blacks again, then perhaps. But I don't think that's what people are trying to do.
Yeah. It's tough, because at the end of the day, like, there are no definitive answers.
It's not. Yeah, no, it's personal perspective is I think all we will gain.
Like, I'm so comfortable saying the word. And then even going back to the fact that we use it positively, even us who use it positively
still use it negatively, right? Because we'd be like,
look
at the right. But in context, though, that's good niggas. That's the thing.
Right.
Look at all these
no good ass niggas. Look at this.
Yeah.
My nigga. Right.
So, and I mean, can say it like back to back.
Yeah, like you can play with this word in so many different ways as a black person.
Yeah.
And it gives you power to play with it. I think, I mean,
and I was
anybody
saying,
who's white don't have that same level of,
it's like,
of
I do see
creativity
and I do
it.
Feel the power when I can use that word that they built to hurt me. Right. But at the same time, I still recognize that when they use that word, I'm still hurt.
Right.
And that's my struggle.
That's
like,
I think
it's tough.
I simplify things in my brain. So I think black people to black people, that is a word that we've wrapped our hands around.
Yeah.
And we utilize it and we've embraced it over some time. I would say the culture has.
Yes.
Individual pockets, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, it's very, some people are really opinionated about it. Like, hey, I will absolutely not use it. And some people say they will use it, right?
Right.
I think that the one thing is not to be opinionated about it. I think people need to have their own personal choice. And that's how I am. Like, I listen to clean versions of hip-hop songs, and I know nobody supports that. Like,
so my hip-hop is full of bitches, niggas, hoes, fuck you.
Right.
Yeah,
it's going
so,
in.
My hip-hop is full of obscenities.
But it is just like in a...
it's an art form.
Yeah, and it's like one of those kind of things that I just started doing because I was like, okay, how do I look? Right. Yeah. And partly maybe it's also being a teacher because I was like, how do I look? Rolling up.
Putting up to more houses. Banging.
Like, oh, what?
Like, windows down.
Talking to your students. Y'all niggas in class?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so just for my own, like, I got to sort of live what I.
I got a head.
Yeah.
All right. So here's something. You brought up the culture. Completely agree with that. But then how much responsibility do we have for the pain we create in ourselves, right? Because we have a sensitivity to this word used by other cultures. I give an example. I was in the mall a couple weeks ago. It's been recently. And I was out there with my daughter. We were in a store buying anime dolls. Right outside the store, there was a group of like 4 or 5 Asian teenagers.
Yeah.
And when you looked at them, they were hip hop from head to toe.
Yeah.
Right? The way they talked, the way they looked, the way they moved, their style, everything said, we genuinely vibe with this. Like, we're not fronting. And they were dropping the word nigga left and right. Here's the catch. They said it so authentically, so in culture, that it sounded every bit as normal coming out of their mouths as it did mine. So my ears were not offended, but my heart was. Like, how do you manage that?
They're using it with each other.
Right, with each other.
Yeah.
Because we push this word into the culture.
They've redefined the word.
Exactly.
They haven't redefined the word.
They're looking at it for themselves, but it still hurt me.
But it's cultural appropriation, and that's a different thing than redefining a word, right?
They're saying, hey, that's like my nigga. That's like my friend. They're using the culture to
Well, they do a lot of things. I mean, my dad, he said he went to Japan, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago. And he was so amazed because black culture was so prevalent, you know, just on TV. They had DJ competitions.
Yeah.
He said they go in the mall. And maybe this is like back in the day because I think cross colors were out. And he was like, they weren't real cross colors, but they were something like cross colors that were there. But he said that also what he saw is that they had Greek paraphernalia.
Really?
For sale to buy in like department stores, and people would just put these on like, oh, this is what black people wear. Malcolm X shirts, all this other kind of stuff. They're saying they did not know who Malcolm X, not, well, they kind of did, but they didn't.
But and
they
the didn't, fact, they're
they don't
in this
know
and don't get it.
The history of black.
They're just following the culture.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if hip hop is really big, they're wearing shirts that they, like, literally, you cannot wear somebody else's fraternity shirt and not expect to get beat down if you come to America, right? Like, so I think that on some level, yes, they could copy the culture, but there's a problem with that, like, not understanding. And I think even Dave Chappelle said something like this. He would go overseas because people saw him you know, on his show, they thought he could come up there like, hey, you know, N-word, how you do it? Like, they thought that that's the way you greet
African-Americans. Black people. Yeah.
Right. So there is a lack of understanding, a lack of studying that is not does not validate. That's yeah. the, they didn't change the definition. They're ignorant of the definition.
Right.
And then by reproducing sure. stuff, because my question was, how do they treat Black people?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, interested, I mean, you know, everybody wants to be a blank, but nobody wants to be a blank, right?
That's everybody Paul wants Mooney. To be Black, so it's time
right.
to be Black.
right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's I mean, like if you love the culture, but you don't.
It's. I think it's a little bit different, though, right? Like, if they're truly ignorant to the culture that they're following, then we, as being influencers of the culture, have to educate them on what that means. Right, because the culture is going to do what the culture does. It's not it, no one
yeah,
individual can stop it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can stop it, but also
it. I don't think you can curtail it. I don't think you can slow it down. I don't think. I mean, there's like in the example of you feeling a little some kind of way about the Asian kids mm-hmm. using the word with each other and all that. I would smile at it.
I was
be
proud
like,
and disappointed all
look
at the
these
same
niggas.
Time.
That's what I would say. Look at these niggas. Just simply because they are a little uneducated around the word and why it's being used.
Archie said, y'all niggas make me so happy.
They probably would have been happy about that. Like, oh, cultural acceptance.
But somebody
for me, it was true conflict in my emotions.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done that. Like, it would have been maybe it's a teacher in me. I was like, that's a teacher moment. Like, let's talk about what's wrong with it.
Because, and again, moment. For me, the reason being is like, I have stopped people. I have checked people for saying that word. But it was something, I don't know if it's something that's been taught to me, the way we use nigga versus nigger, but the way they were saying it just felt so real.
So authentic.
Hey, what I got.
Right,
because
they truly,
all of hip-hop.
Right, they truly bought into the culture. But I also felt responsibility because I provide tacit approval to that type of behavior when I stamp the culture. Right, when I play down for my niggas instead of down for my hitters. When I help to push all this stuff out, we're promoting this. And then when other cultures begin to absorb it, how then can we get offended when they begin to reproduce and replicate, rather, what it is that we pushed out to them in the first place.
I mean, because if one is
because we're doing
form,
it.
Yeah, I mean, we are creating it. We're supporting it. We're enabling it to continuously grow, right? Like,
you said, you can't control it. You can't control people mm-mm. getting offended by that word.
No, I mean,
like,
but you can't stop But this
them
is the thing. What are you offended for?
It's obvious, just from our conversation, that as a collective Black folk, we struggle with this topic, right? So, Dr. Corey, why do you think it is that we struggle so hard with something as simple yet complex as a word?
What's poppin', guys? It's Jay Jonah here from Blowin' Smoke. If you're a fan of fun, insightful, and breakthrough conversations, then be sure to check out and subscribe to The Blowin' Smoke Podcast, a show that covers life experiences and firsthand testimonies from some of your biggest names in your favorite industries. And it's all brought to you exclusively right here by The Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
Well, I think it's you know, we do want to be free, right?
Right.
We want to be
true.
Free to do whatever. And yep. it does seem like a burden. Like, why right. do we have to be better than or raise ourselves to a certain standard that is higher than it was required of, like, just Americans in general?
Right.
Right? Because no one else has to sort of worry about, well, am I saying a word that, you know, you don't hear the same kind of worry about, you know, people being, well, I wasn't going to say that word. I'll not say it, just in case. But I was just like, well, if you hear white people call other people rednecks, right?
Right.
Like, they don't have any conflict about it. I mean, there's a white comedian, he made a whole, you know, career around calling other white people
yeah.
rednecks, right? And, or they'll make jokes about them being backwards or whatever like that. And there is no burden, right? Like, they can do that absolutely without worrying about, oh, well, does this make us look bad? Or what if other kids hear this and start calling each other this term or, you know, some that are worse, right? But I think that this is the same thing that has plagued, you know, Black thinkers and writers and musicians since we've been here, right? Yep. Like, we don't, we're not able. You can, you know, make a minstrel show and tap dance and, you know, blacken your face. You can do that, right? But there's a cultural cost, right, for Black people. So there are some people that were stepping fetching it all the way to the bank, right? But there are other people like, okay, no, that hurts us, right? You can't, you need to think better. And I think that that's our conundrum. There are always going to be people who say, you need to do better. And I don't, and I think that they know that there is a cultural cost, right? We can do these things. We can say whatever we want. We beats be bumping. We get it, right? But there's a cultural cost. And the question is whether we're willing to pay it.
Question, is there more history to the word than we realize?
Like I said, I think that one of the things that's really interesting is how the word's been used. And there was this professor in 2002, Randall Kennedy. He's a law professor at Harvard. And he wrote a whole book. I mean, that's the, the name of the book, right?
I got the book at the house.
And he was like, you know, let's delve into the history of this word. And what he said, which I thought was really interesting, is that you can go back and see the way that it was used, right? Like, you can understand the first time that it appears in literature, right? You can look at, which is around the 1500s, right? You can look at all of these things, like, sort of across the world, you know, in terms of the way that they talk about Black folk. But what it boils down to, again, is the question about today, how is it used in culture and how does it impact you, if at all?
Right.
And I think that what people be, like, I think people be shocked to find it was really just a term that was about Black people, right? That was just saying that we have Black people from this Black land, right? And then how that we have Black people, you know, turned into we have slaves.
Right.
Right? Turned into we have people that we don't want to live here. Right?
Right.
Turned into, you know, Black people saying, oh, well, I'm going to call my friends that. But still, you have white people using this to mean we have these people that are not equal and we don't want to live here and we don't want to give equal rights. So I think that it shows that that words do change, but that also that there is a lot of history invested in certain things that make it difficult to change in a way. Because we're still having the effects of slavery, right?
Right.
We could say, oh, well, they freed the slaves, and so I could call you a slave and it don't mean the same thing, right? But no, you're going to be like, I don't care, right? It's going to mean the same thing, right? Even after the Emancipation Proclamation, right? And I feel that that's the I think if you look at the history of the word, and even if you read back, you'll see that it it was particularly entrenched for the purpose of, you know, making Black people lesser.
Gotcha. So yeah. I want to add to that just a little bit. Do you think that the word nigger, E-R specifically, had more power when we were enslaved or today? And I add just a little bit more context because I've thought about this and I kind of go back and forth. I don't think it would be a popular opinion, but it almost feels like to me today it's more of a powerful, hurtful word than it was even then. And the reason I say that is because if you think about the way the word was used so overbearingly for all of us, period, right? It was commonly accepted as a term that was meant to modify the Black man or Black woman. Therefore, that means there were children who were born into the world where they never saw us referred to as anything else.
Right.
So why would they call us anything else, right?
Right?
Now, the reason I feel like today may even be more powerful is because today we are not commonly referred to walking down the street as niggers, at least not out loud,
right?
So when someone makes the choice to use that word to modify me out loud in public, they are reaching back to reinforce the stereotypes, the perceptions, and the thoughts that people had of me holistically all those years back.
In context, though, like, like when you use the word, you have to use it in context. Like, in this context, you are talking about a white person.
Yes. right, using it to specifically
but
hurt
black
me.
Black people yeah. called but, other black people correct, the N-word but it's in not, slavery. So you can say, did
but
that
was the
make
meaning
it,
the same?
Yeah.
No, I don't
yeah,
think so. I don't
right.
think so.
Right. They would be no. like, oh, Master Henry. So, you know, so, tit his niggas, well, right? Like, they meant the exact same thing, right? No, like,
really go back was. To Django. Now, no, your boy's character, Samuel Jackson's character in Django, when he said it, he meant that shit.
But I'm saying,
but no, is, but no, that's a whole, like, the in context.
No, you could read, you got read Jay, you got, you can, if you ever
you
read,
got the black man who think he white. Right. Using the word nigga. That's a completely
like,
different.
Stories or histories or stuff from the period, they would be just like, oh, you know, right? Like, my slave voice. I need to stop. I don't know why I come up with this voice. Like, that's how all, you know, it's
like, I was like, oh.
Right? It's so offensive. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize to black people.
That's my slave
voice. Right? Because it's like, why would they all talk like that? Like, they right. all talk like, you know, Uncle Ben and Uncle Remus. No, they do not all talk like that. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me just do my regular voice. But you know,
to your defense,
would,
we all do that. Though, right?
Everybody
do
black
do
got
that.
A.
I mean, do they? I was yeah. thinking that's just my problem.
Yes, we are on Wild Black. Hell yeah, we do. Like before you said anything, everybody knew exactly what you were thinking about and started laughing and shit. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's why it was funny. It was,
hey, we got to keep it real. You're right. You 100% right.
It was like, oh.
Am I going in a voice?
Yeah. Right now, half our listeners are talking innate slavery.
Right now. Like, right now. Oh.
Right. And y'all stop it. You should be ashamed of your damn self. Stop
right?
it. Stop
right.
that.
I'm trying to be positive.
All right, Dr. Corey, sorry, back to you. This episode here.
Yeah. Oh, I even forgot what I was saying.
Power then versus now.
Oh, so what I'm saying is they used it in the same way. And normally, as we know, black people had, you know, we had a negative self-image about other black people. That is not, that's not surprising, right? Like, so they would sort of talk about, you know, not always, right? I'm not talking about Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman. I'm talking about just, you know, when they just sort of referred to, you know, other black people who were enslaved. Like, it was not unusual. Like, you can read, you know, WPA slave narratives and stuff, and they will say, you know, old master so-and-so had... They won't say 10 enslaved people or 10 Africans or 10 family members. Well, they will use the N-word.
But so...
The same way white people
meaning,
said.
So this is in a time yeah. where folks weren't reading,
correct.
Right?
It was
and
illegal.
The only thing that they knew
that was
to,
the
refer
word to refer to us.
Other people that look like us would be that word. So that's what I mean. It's different. Like, if I walked mm-hmm. up to you and said... that today versus when they were saying it, that's right. completely different.
But I think to that same point is why, to me, today, it feels more powerful. Because then, to some people, there were no other options because we were niggers. That's what we were to all these people. They didn't even have the option because they didn't even recognize us as African-American or black or anything. Like, to us, that was the word that applied. So therefore, that was the word that was used. And
so
today,
you think,
when
you think we should stop using it completely?
I struggle.
See where you
so,
going?
So, okay,
where you
so,
going?
So two things.
Because I'm real binary. I'm like, either you in the game or you out the game. Like,
so,
we're going
to
use it or we
to
not.
To your point, I'm going to go back to that article. And I'm going to read another portion of it that talks about what you just said. So as a reminder, this is from the 2017 article from The Undefeated. If you truly knew what the N-word meant to your ancestors, you'd never use it. All right. Nigger also signaled... antipathy. Antipathy means disrespect, the opposite of empathy, toward fellow black folks. After the end of slavery, Maddie Mormon went to North Wisconsin with a white family for whom she worked. Members of the family wanted to go to a circus to watch a black boy's performance. She told the interviewer, you want to use your slave voice?
No. I'm tired of my slave voice.
She told the interviewer, guess they thought it would be a treat for me to see another nigga. I told them, almost did my slave voice, told them, Lord, don't you think I see lots more than I want every day when I is at home. But read how she talks about the family's baby, whom she constantly watched over, fearing irrationally that someone would kidnap him. No matter what time they come home, they'd find me there. Why don't you go to your bedroom and lie down? They'd ask me. No, I'd tell them. Somebody might come in and they would have to get that baby over my dead body. Her eyes fixated on the white baby, but she saw too many niggers. So the point here is they're talking about the way we use that word to refer to ourselves and the way that word de-emphasized the power that we had in ourselves. So much so that she began to want to look after a white baby more so than the people who looked just like her.
Man, when was that written?
The article was written in 2017, but the interview was done with her from a context standpoint way back then where they were in other words.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. All I'm saying is context, redefinition of the word.
Well, I will That's really say, what that is. There are times, even back
it's
then,
a great conversation.
When they used it for satire, right? Which is yeah. the way that Dave Chappelle used it, the way mm-hmm. the Boondocks uses it. So when you are using it to make fun of the fact, yeah. right, that people so easily read Slave Voice here, go into these kind mm-hmm. of scenarios where they would value the white baby over the black baby. And I can see somebody making sort of fun of that so that people understand how ridiculous mm-hmm. it is, you know, that we find ourselves in a place where we value people of other races over Absolutely. Ourselves. But it doesn't make it any less true. But I think you can use it in the sense that where it is comedic. But our problem is we don't get satire. We'll be like, we don't understand it is a joke because you were really not supposed to be doing that. We, in turn, turn around like, yeah. oh, that just means we
oh,
should
Oh, shit, I'm offended. Yeah.
Not offended. We'll start saying, oh, that's just means that that's what you're supposed to call people, right? Right. That's how you should walk around because it's funny.
Missing the satire, taking it for approval.
Missing the satire.
Oh, well, that's
right?
some ignorance, right?
Yeah.
That's a significant dose
but
of
like
ignorance.
I said, but it's funny, right? Like, so on some level, using the N-word in those only, contexts it's just really funny, right? Like, and this is not just in the current. Like, Charles Chestnut, who wrote at the turn of the century during the Reconstruction, like, he would write these, Uncle Remus kind of tales where yeah. these black men were always sitting down on the plantation telling stories. And that's how he starts off. You know, he would say, you know, if it's one thing a nigga love, it's, you know, chicken, right? And you feel like that is the most stereotypical and actually, but I reeled it back in. I didn't
you,
do that.
You did. You did. It was straight fishing pole. You're like, whoa.
I didn't do the whole thing. Yeah. But it's so interesting. But you realize he has a character doing that because he's like, this is how white people think all
Correct.
White people
and it's
right.
ridiculous.
Right.
Now it's funny because it. Like but there's some truth
funny,
to it, right?
But then it's
ridiculous. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because like, it's satire, but it's got to be, and that's how comedy works. It's got to be based yeah. on some truth or it's not funny.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But
Absolutely.
It's also, he is reproducing this word, you know, throughout his work, right? Even though he's making fun of the way white people see black people, in there, he's just, you know, talking about, there's one called the Gufford Grapevine, and it's like literally, it's good. It's wonderful. You should read it. So, you know, he's like, he's talking about grapes. And he's like, if there's one thing a nigga love, it's some scuppernong. So the whole scuppernong grapes. And then so the whole story is about how this enslaved black person tries to trick white people that the grapevine, that this vineyard they want to buy in North Carolina is has roots put on it, like has a spell put right. on it. And so he can have all the grapes himself. So he sits there and talks about, well, you know, this is what, you know, I'm sorry, slave boys. This is what.
So that's this real is, nigga shit right there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm
fucking. He's not worried
right
about how
you,
to
well
himself.
Yeah.
He's not worried about reparations.
Yep.
He's worried about how he can get all these grapes.
All the grapes.
From these white people.
Yes.
Right? It calls him and every other black person an N-word all the way through. But it's funny.
It's hilarious.
And you realize yeah. that at the end of the day, it was really about having power over white people because mm-hmm. they thought he was so stupid and he was just sitting there talking about some great. But you realize that he could tell stories. Like, he could use, he was a trickster figure. He could use his stories
yep.
to get these white
he
people to leave his land, right?
Yeah.
So he told stories. Oh, I don't know. It might be haunted, right? Like, all these grapes. You don't want these grapes.
See, I like that. Yeah. I mean, that's a level of thinking beyond. Like, it's utilizing
yeah.
this stereotypical yeah. word.
Against.
So, hell yeah. Like, He turned the fucking M16 around and used it. Right? In your analogy earlier, right?
Is our hip hop doing that? Are we turning that around? Are we using it in a way that disarms, you know, white folks?
But when you turn around, you gotta be careful not to shoot yourself.
I can't say if hip hop is doing that. I don't have a binary answer for that one. That one is a little tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's
tough. So that'd be great if it was like satire and you're just like, oh, well, let's look how this is so ridiculous. I mean, so why does Quentin Tarantino have this love affair with this N-word? That's what I would want to know.
He does indeed.
He does.
Oh, man.
In his movies.
Django is
Pulp Fiction.
One of my
all of them. Jackie Brown.
Yeah. They do counts for his movies. They will tell you how many are in there.
Yeah.
And that becomes one of those kind of questions. It's like, James Baldwin, why you need it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it do for you?
Now I'm questioning myself because I watch the shit out of every one of the movies. Y'all be in there quoting shit.
Man.
It's very quotable.
All right, so tell me this. I don't know if there is an answer to this. Where did the A come from versus the ER?
Well, I think that's just, again, if you think about African-American vernacular English, that's just the way we pronounce it, right? So it's just a part of the natural. There are a lot of words that we pronounce.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like finna, right? That's
okay.
That's just the way we're going to say it, right? And I think that what happened
That came from just simple pronunciation.
Simple pronunciation, but I think that then it offered an avenue to say, well, actually, this is a separate word. And my thing is I'm getting ready to do something, and finna, two different words. My question is, I don't think it really is. It's just, it gives it a cultural relevance.
That's interesting, because said that, in my mind, they've always been two separate words.
Right.
Nigger and nigga were two different words, but finna
right.
was the same word.
It's the same word. I mean, it's just like any other foreign language you learn. Mm-hmm. They have equivalents in English, right? So African-American vernacular English has equivalents in standard, I don't even want to use standard, in European English, right? Like they have equivalents. And it doesn't make it wrong that you're speaking Black English, but it just makes it a different language. Yeah, but it means the same thing, right? It doesn't necessarily mean a different thing, but we like to tell ourselves it's totally because it's an A.
Right.
It's funny because mentally, two different words over here.
Yeah.
I don't think enough about it.
I get it. It sounds good, but that's not the way the English language works. But if that's what we go wrong with, we go wrong with.
Right, right. But in honesty, it's the same fucking word.
Same, like same you shit. Use
it, yeah. And I like the correlation of finna. Like with the A. Well, you know, I put an A on it, so it's different now.
Was that your slave voice?
No, that was my deep Black brother voice. Okay. I retired my slave voice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm trying to retire mine.
Yeah, it's come out a couple times.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, man.
Life's like one of those things. You struggle to do better.
We all have our struggles. And while I was reading it, I was thinking consciously, don't pronounce it like that. Say it the right way.
Yeah.
Because the slave voice will try to come out. In a nigga, who said that? Melanie. Remember Melanie episode?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So my inner nigga came out.
We all have that.
That was a great.
So tell me this. When it comes to the N-word, what would you have Black culture, Black society do with it?
I mean, I think that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to give pronouncements on what you should or shouldn't do.
Fair.
But what I can say is that we have to have, you have to understand, right? Like, so I'm a teacher, and what I don't want is, like I said, the kind of arguments, oh, I'm using this because it's a totally different word. No, it's not.
Right.
But if you're going to use it.
If you're going to argue, argue in reality.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Like, let's start on the same place. Like, it is the same word. But let's talk about, is it possible for you to use this word and have a positive meaning? That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
I'm trying to convince you that it's from the ancient Egyptian that means, like, you know, you really.
Nigga is from.
You can literally. Right? Like, no, it's not. Like,
it was written on a scroll in Egypt and shit. Yeah,
right? Right. Yeah, like that is
that's the
not
vote crowd
right. Where that came from. Right. That is not where a single person who was a slave owner got that word, right? Like, let's just stop that because that's not true. You might want it to mean that, and maybe you could talk about how if you go and change a word, we're going to try to change it to that, but that's not its original.
Right. And we're going to lie about changing the word, right? Like, this is when you get into that fake shit. Like, oh, this is what it, I'm with you on that.
It's like the Willie Lynch letter of 2000s, yes. Right? Like, it's like the Willie Lynch letter is not true, but you can't tell nobody that. They'd be like, what? But in the Willie Lynch letter, it says, you know, if you teach somebody, okay, well, let's talk about what you do, what you can read. Well, what did Frederick Douglass say? What did David Walker say? What did all these other people say? You don't have to necessarily go to people.
So wait a minute. So you just educated me on some sort of Willie Lynch letter is not true?
Oh, Lord. It is fake. But it's not saying that the ideas.
Right. The philosophy and the strategies
were
real.
But there was no Willie Lynch letter that circulated throughout the South.
No. Like, Thomas Jefferson wrote the whole Notes of the State of Virginia. Like, you don't have to go.
You don't need a Willie Lynch letter.
You don't. Yeah. He was like, this is how you run Negroes, right?
Right. Like, it's like a management book.
From the cradle to the grave, right?
Yep, absolutely. You need no damn Willie Lynch. Yes.
All right, so. The last question I want to ask is, you have talked about several resources. You've mentioned several books. Mm. You've mentioned several speeches. You've mentioned several people. So for our listeners who are interested in getting closer to the reality behind this word, whether they agree with it or disagree with it, what resources would you recommend people begin to dive into?
Well, I would mention the Randall Kennedy book because I think it does a good job just going on.
And that book is called Nigger.
On the etymology of the word, the history of the meaning of the word.
Right.
I would also look at, to give the other side, Dick Gregory's book, which is also called...
I didn't know that.
Nigger, right?
Okay.
So that's the title of his autobiography.
Right.
And one of the things that I think that does is it sets up why he would call his life story that.
Right.
Right? And justifiably so. And that's partly because this is the way that the world in America is trying, what they're trying to turn him into.
Right.
The same thing Gil Scott-Heron has. It's a novel called The Nigger Factory. But by and large, back to James Baldwin, I would start with his movie, I'm Not Your Negro.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
Because the original quote was, I'm not your nigger, right? So in the fact that they changed that, I think becomes really interesting. Because if you actually go and look at the movie to see what he's talking about, it's like he's actually trying to say, you know, well, he's talking about the murder of Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King.
Right.
Who were friends of his. But really, it is about what it means to be the N-word, not a Negro, in America, right? And I think that becomes, and how it literally leads to your death.
Right.
And it leads to all these men dying. So I would recommend that, too. And anything that he writes, right? Notes of the Native Son.
Yeah.
You know, just literally just pick up anything James Baldwin.
Yeah, listeners of Wild Black, get their fair dose of James Baldwin.
Yeah.
We're based on one of his quotes, and he has come up many, many times on the podcast. Okay, cool. Art, brother, you got anything, man?
Hey, I love it. I love it. I love the conversation.
This is a good one. This is a really good one.
And I love the fact that how you, I'm not here to tell you how to think about the word outside of you being educated about what the word is.
Right.
I love that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't look at anybody differently who uses it or doesn't use
it.
Right. It is a matter of perspective. As long as you are educated on its use and context and yes. Like, I love the conversation. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for blessing our listeners with.
And I know you're going to be bumping C. Murder.
Oh, yeah.
So in the car.
In the car. Boom. I might even roll the windows down.
In Roswell.
It's a little cold, though. But.
So, Dr. Corey, at the end of every episode, we give the floor over to our guest. We allow you to tell the people, the listeners, whatever it is that is on your mind or heart to share with them. So, talk to them. And please, if you want them to, Tell them where they can follow you, where they can read more about you, where they can learn more about you.
Okay, wow, that's like a lot. So on, I love conversation. So you can see I like to talk, and probably my students will tell you I probably talk too much. But on Twitter, I'm just at Prof Claiborne. So hit me up. And I think the biggest thing
P-R-O-F.
P-R-O-F-C-L-A-I-B-O-R-N-E.
There we go.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things for me is, you know, just love Black people. And whatever you do, if it comes from that, I think that you'll be okay, right? If it really is about that at the end of the day, it is not about anybody telling you how you need to do that, but just love Black people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, while Black... That's it.
Well, you ain't got no words.
You
gotta have some words. Yes.
Wild Black, that ain't quite it. Sorry.
Right. Let's rewind.
Man, the only thing I would say is I agree with the ideas that came from the room today, that we're not here to tell you yes or no on the word, but it would be appreciated if, where regardless as to where you land and how you feel about using word, make sure that it's factual, right? Make sure that you are coming from a place of facts and not just speculation as to why you're doing what you're doing. Because when we share information that happens to be false, we're doing no one any justice. So that's all I got for you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It's been a good one. Peace. We out.
We out.
Peace.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.